Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the VRO. Today is Tuesday, June 5th, 2012, and it is 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Jess, and I'll be your host for tonight. And as always, Miss Amy is running the switchboard for us. We continue our interviews for the movie For the Love of Money this week. Last week, we spoke with director Ellie Kanner-Zuckerman and Eddie Furlong. We also spoke earlier this week with Richard Gunn, who played Vince in the movie, and also Joshua Bitton, who played the character of Yoni in the older character of Yoni. Tonight, our guest is most well-known for his role as Ray Boyd on Jerry Maguire and George Little in Stuart Little and Stuart Little 2. Before we bring him in, Amy is screening the call right now. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the movie and the fact that Amy and I were lucky enough to see a copy of it before it premieres tonight in L.A. Once it premieres tonight, it will then be released across the nation in select theaters. And Ellie Kanner-Zuckerman has told us that by September, it should be available on video on demand, iTunes, and probably any other electronic device you can get a hold of it. If you don't get a chance to see it in on the big screen, you should definitely take the opportunity to at least watch it on video on demand. It is an amazing movie, and even more so when I realized after seeing the movie that it was based on a true story. In either case, I'm getting word that our guest has joined us. We are very happy to welcome Jonathan Lipnicki to the VRO. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
No problem. You play the character of Yoni in his teenage years, correct?
Yes, I do.
What drew you to the movie?
You know, it's really actually a funny story. I went into casting for a TV show. I wanted to go read for a pilot, and I was in the room, and they're like, you know, not that you didn't do a good read for this pilot, but you happen to look a lot like this one guy who's playing this one role in this movie, and can you please just hold on? And then they came back, gave me some sides, and said, can you look over these for 5 minutes? Come back in. Came back in and read them, and they said, do you want to meet with this director tomorrow? I said, okay, went in, read for the director, and I ended up, they told me that I got it, and I'm one of those people, I'm really about content, and I thought it was a really interesting story, and, you know, I thought I could really do something with the role, so I took it on.
It was great. Amy and I really enjoyed watching it, and we really hope that everybody gets a chance to see it, especially since it's based on a true story, and I was talking with Richard Gunn and Joshua Bitton yesterday, who Joshua plays the same character as you later on in the movie. And we were talking about how amazing it is that these kids, basically the whole family, moves to the United States from Tel Aviv, and immediately the character of Isaac and Yoni start this business at 16 years old and are so successful at it that they actually wind up being bought out and buying more businesses. And how funny it is that, you know, just two decades later, we can't even get 20-year-olds to get off the PS3 and go out and take out the garbage, you know. It was just an amazing movie. Now, how difficult was it knowing that that somebody else was going to be playing your role later on? Did you guys get together and discuss certain physical traits and mannerisms?
Yeah, you know, the really funny thing about that is that we got together, and me and Joshua realized that we have very similar mannerisms naturally, just kind of.
Okay.
We started kind of looking at each other like, wait, we kind of just do the same thing anyway. And then, we just tried to get to know each other, you know, quickly, because we only had one day to get to know each other before a lot of, you know, the stuff was happening, and really just kind of went over some stuff. We're both Meisner trained, so it was really great that we could kind of speak the same, you know, actor language to each other, and we really understood each other, and he's a great guy. So, I mean, it was the best possible situation as far as finding someone who was really willing to, you know, work with me on that.
They really did a great job with the casting, because I was telling Joshua yesterday that when I was watching the movie, it's always weird when you have one actor play a younger version and then later on it's a different actor, and when the casting is not good, it's jarring and it kind of takes you out of the movie. It takes you back into reality, and it kind of makes you think, you know, oh, okay, it's a different actor. But I was telling Joshua yesterday that when I was watching the movie, it took me a while to realize that they had changed actors, because
it was funny.
The acting was really cool, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's a different actor. But it didn't take away from my experience watching the movie. It was so seamless, and I was like, oh, okay, this is great.
That's good. Yeah, you know, it was really, I mean, Mary Jo Slater did a great job, considering my hair isn't even naturally like that. They permed my hair for the role to, you know, match Joshua's hair.
So what did you think about curly hair?
You know, it was good for a few weeks, and I realized I started losing some friends because they just didn't want to hang out near the smelly perm, and then, you know, just got that. No, it was interesting. Definitely, I was definitely happy when we were done to get rid of it. I didn't want to keep it any longer than I had to, but that's what I love about acting, you know, really getting into a different character and really, you know, the new hair, new whatever, you know, whatever you go through, whatever transformation you end up going through for each role. I mean, that's something that really fascinates me anyway.
Right. Now, speaking of transformation, I watched a whole bunch of interviews on you, and you mentioned heavily going to the gym for your shirtless scene. How was that?
You know, it was really, and that's the funny thing, is that now that you've seen it, you see that it's not in there.
Because I was going to say, I kept looking back, and I'm like, I don't see it in there.
Yeah, that was one of the things is I saw when I read the script that there was a shirtless scene, you know, and I started kind of working out pretty heavily because I just really got inspired by something my acting coach said about really pushing yourself in everyday life, not, you know, just as an actor, but, you know, if it means going to the gym more and getting in good shape. And I really started, I've always been into athletics, but I really started falling in love with, like, lifting and, you know, circuit training and all that. And I dieted hardcore for, like, 3 or 4 months. And then, you know, coincided with this movie, showed up the day of set, and then it really just wasn't going to work with the shirtless scene. I ended up, you know, kind of dieting for no reason. But, it taught me to really love the gym, and that, you know, is something that's really good to carry around with me.
See, and now I have some information here that may or may not be true, so I don't know if this is correct, but it says here that you're an avid Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. Is that true, and did this working out help you with the jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, I guess I have. It's a huge part of my life. I'm a purple belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and it is a giant part of my life. I love it, and weightlifting just made me a better jiu-jitsu player. And, you know, it definitely helped a lot.
Awesome. What challenges did you foresee going into the role of Yoni? And what was surprisingly not challenging? Did you foresee anything that may have been an issue that turned out not to be? Or did you find when you started filming that you were having an obstacle or came up against something that you didn't expect?
You know, I the only really challenge I really kind of saw in the beginning was obviously matching up with whoever was playing me older. And also, I mean, the fact that I'm not American, there has to be something that said for that, even though they really kind of made the choice that they really didn't want thick accents. There was something, you know, personally as an artist that I wanted to do because, I mean, that's not me. I'm not an Israeli kid in the 70s, so I really... I had to dig into, you know, what it meant to be a kid during that time in Israel and, you know, really what it was like to be a kid in the 70s in general. And, I mean, that should have been the most challenging part, but it was a ton of fun just kind of exploring that. So, you know, when you're having fun, you don't really realize how much work you're putting into it.
Right. Now, I know that the executive producer is actually the main character. I mean, it's based on a true story, and luckily enough, Isaac, the real Isaac was involved in the filming process. But because it was based on a true story, did you feel a lot of pressure playing an actual person and trying to respect the truth of that person as well as bringing something of yourself to the table?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's obviously you don't want to disappoint anyone and you want to, you know, bring that truth out with you. And obviously it's not going to be, you can't go in trying to imitate somebody. That's not going to work, you know. It was great that I really got to meet the real kind of Yoni guy and, you know, kind of just see what he's like. But there's one of those things where there's some guesswork and there's a lot of stuff where it's like you do got to bring a portion of yourself anyway or it's not going to be truthful. So, I mean, there is a certain pressure with that, but at the same time, it's kind of nice to have something to look at to, you know, see what you have to end up doing.
Right. We have a couple of fan questions, if you don't mind. The show is based... is for fans by fans. So we had a couple of fan questions. And one person writes in and they said, you made a concerted effort to take yourself out of the limelight in your teenage years. How has that affected your career?
You know, it really wasn't like a huge effort to take myself out. I really just wanted to be a normal kid for a minute and I'd go to high school and play on the water polo team. And, you know, if you're playing a sport seriously in high school, you know, coaches aren't cool with you always going to auditions and that. And that was just kind of a conscious decision I made. I always knew I was going to come back. And, yeah, you know what? If I just stayed continually doing it, yeah, a lot of things would be easier. But you know what? People have been extremely receptive. I've never burned any bridges. I work really hard. And you know what? I like the challenge.
I think it's actually good. I think that it was a good idea for you to go and have that as well, I mean, personally. Because you see all these child actors and they just unfortunately wind up going down this road that is almost self-destructive when you have fame at a very early age. So I kind of applaud that decision because it allowed you to have your own childhood and to not be under so much pressure all the time. So that it seems like that was a good decision and you're happy with that, correct?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, as an artist, there's so much to draw from when you really go to public school. You know, I don't really have many friends who are my age who are actors. And I mean, that's a fact. Most of my friends are my friends because I met them, you know, school or through other things. But really having that to draw from is a lot better than a lot of these kids who don't have anything to draw from because they've just been little professional actors their whole life.
Right, exactly. So you have a lot of real life experience to bring to the table at this point.
Yes.
Very cool. I have another question for you. Another girl writes in, she wants to know, if you had the opportunity, is there a dream role you would love to play?
you know, they're making a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and that's
nice.
My childhood right there. You know, like, I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That would be up there with probably, as far as things that are actually being made, that is up there with, you know, something I would be more than thrilled to make the martial arts aspect. Really, anything where I can show my physicality would be something that I want to do.
Do you have a favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
I'm going to have to go with Donatello.
All right. I'm a big fan of the Ninja Turtles myself. And
I mean, I saw that it's being made, and that just made me laugh, smile, be happy. I just, you know, something like that, it would be something that would really be fun for me to do. And besides, of course, looking at the fact of content and things that are right to do for your career, there's also a fun aspect. I love doing this, and there are things that I'd want to do just for the, you know, fun of doing it.
Right. See, would you ever consider playing a bad character, like a truly evil character?
Yeah. I think that'd be really fascinating. I would love to do something like that because, I mean, that's very far from me. Someone who's, you know, either just a cold stone killer or something. I mean, trying to really do the research to relate to that and find what really makes these people tick and what makes them do what they do, I think that's a fascinating thing that I really haven't had a chance to undertake yet that I would love to.
I agree. I think playing, I mean, there's a certain there's a certain challenge to playing somebody good, but really, how good can you be? It's fun. It, you know, it's more interesting to be a bad guy because you get to do all the things that you can't do in everyday life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. I concur. I would love to be an evil villain one day.
Yeah, I think it would just be a lot of fun.
Do you, somebody writes in, do you have a favorite cartoon? But you just answered Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Do you have another
Scooby-Doo's
one?
Scooby-Doo's up there also. I grew up watching
okay.
Scooby-Doo. So Scooby-Doo's definitely up there with that.
Awesome. Now, are you going to the premiere tonight?
No, not at all. I'm not going to go. No, I'm totally going. Pretty excited. I haven't seen it yet. Can't wait to see it, and I think it's going to be a fun time. You know, I really can't wait to see a lot of people I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I think you're going to love it. It's funny that Amy and I got a chance to see it before you guys did, but that's kind of awesome. But
yeah. You're just way more special than me.
Yeah, that's funny. But, yeah, it's a great movie, and everybody did an amazing job. I really loved all of the characters. I mean, the character of Mickey, played by James Caan, and Richard Gunn's character, Vince, was just, they were really, really intimidating. And Tommy, the character, Eddie, we talked to Eddie Furlong on Friday. So,
cool.
Just... Actually, Amy was so intimidated by his performance that she was afraid to pick up his phone call when he called it.
<That's great.
laughs> He's fine. It's fine. Just pick it up. Now, I got a Twitter message today from Mr. Randy Wade.
Alrighty.
He was telling me that I had to be easy on you, and I best mention a movie in which you play the lead that is just finishing up completion. Would you please tell us about the movie? It's Tag, right? Because I looked it up,
yes.
And it actually looks really interesting.
Yeah, Tag was definitely another really different role from anything I've ever done. And it was with Christopher Mintz-Plasse and Scout Compton also. So, I mean, really great to work with two other people around my age who really, you know what they're doing and are awesome. And it's about a group of homeless kids. And I don't know if I can say too much. I don't know. Did Randy tell you much about it?
Well, the IMDb gives a little plot synopsis. You can say a little bit about it.
Okay, good. I was just making sure. I don't want to be that guy, but it's about a group of homeless kids who really band together and kind of take out some of their frustrations on society.
Yeah. It doesn't say what the game of tag is, but it does say that there's sort of a love triangle going on, and there's a very interesting way that they're trying to resolve it. And it's just fascinating. Do you know approximately when it will be released?
You know, I don't really know. I'm not involved on the producing end at all. And I don't know exactly what happened with it because, honestly, it's really dark. And, I don't know whether it's going to be the festival circuit with it or it's going to get distribution straight out of the way. But it's a really interesting story. And, I really can't wait to see how that one turns out.
Now, there was another movie that you mentioned that you wanted to talk about to Amy. Can you let us know about that one?
Yes, I produced my first film last year called Broken Roads, and we're just really pretty much done with that as far as in post, and I'm excited to see what happens with that. I kind of fell into it in a cool way. I knew this young director named Justin Chambers who... I just saw how hard this kid worked, and he just hustled, and, you know, really just, I was like, wow, you know, those are the type of people I really need to be working with, and he brought me in on this project, and it's really a fish out of water story about a boy who loses his mother and has to move away from the city to Colorado, and it's just kind of about how he, you know, really, really grows up, and it's a really beautiful coming-of-age story.
Very nice. Now, so you were producer on this. which is a different role than you've usually played as an actor.
Yeah.
How is it different? Do you like producing more than acting, or is it just something that you would like to do alongside of?
I'd like to do it alongside. There's no way that anything really compares to acting for me. There's just something so fulfilling about it. But, I mean, it was really great to kind of put on that producer hat and see a lot of stuff from the other side. I consider it my college, you know. I decided not to go to college out of high school and really just focus on this acting thing. And I really think producing is a way of me going to film school. And I really look at it like that, and it's a great learning experience, and it's just really been really valuable to me to, you know, take on that experience.
Very nice. And do you think that maybe you'd want to direct in the future also?
You know, definitely. Right now, really, the next, 5-10 years are going to be really just about really just putting out a lot of work and doing a lot of good work as an actor. But, I mean, I would really at some point like to do it.
Okay. I have one more fan question. I know you're really busy and you got to get ready for the premiere, so we won't keep you very long. Somebody does write in and asks, do you play any musical instruments?
I used to play drums, but ever since I moved out, I really haven't. That's a part of my life that I do miss. But, I mean, I'm just doing a lot of stuff right now, and that's something I'll definitely go back to because I love music.
Very nice. Thank you. Jonathan, I, again, we're really happy to be able to speak with you, and I hope that you keep us updated about TAG and also about the other movie. What was the name of the other movie?
Broken Roads,
yes.
And you,
so I hope
you can check out the trailer for Broken Roads. It's on YouTube.
Is it? Okay.
And, it's a really, really, really good trailer. I'm really, really impressed with what Justin did with it.
I really hope that you keep us updated on the developments of those two movies. And hopefully we can have you back to talk about TAG and Broken Roads in the future.
Awesome. That would be great. It was a pleasure.
We will definitely be Twittering out the trailer to Broken Road and definitely going to be promoting TAG, because if I don't, Randy might kill me.
Yeah, you know, he's a serious guy. You don't want to mess with him.
Exactly. So before we let you go, if you could just give us our little sound clip, just say your name and you're listening to the VRO, and you can add whatever you want to add into it. Make it your own.
Okay. This is Jonathan Lipnicki, and you are listening to the VRO.
Perfect.
I didn't really know what to do with that, so that's okay.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was.
Okay, good.
So thank you for joining us tonight, and have fun at the premiere. And if you see Josh and Richard there, and just tell them that the VRO said hi.
Okay, will do, will do.
Okay, you have a great night.
You too. Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Freaking awesome.
Yes, yes. I almost had a fangirl moment. Almost. I pulled it in.
I could tell when you were having your fangirl moment.
Was it the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes. I was like, please don't, Jess. Please don't, Jess.
No, I didn't. But I think it's really funny. I almost said to him, I'm like, we got to get him together with Stephen Limbaugh from Kingsley, and they've definitely got to put together like a little short, because the two of them are obsessed with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, because I remember us talking to Stephen about that. But, you know, they have that common friend. You know, Randy is his company produced TAG, and
right.
Randy is friends with Steven, and that's how
that's right.
I got
forgot about
to Steven.
That.
So it's like the six degrees of Randy Wayne.
You know, it's really funny. I'm noticing now that the more interviews we do, the more connections. It's almost like 6 degrees of separation of the VRO. Like, this person was in this movie, and this person was in this movie, and we interviewed this person who was also in this movie with that person. So,
and we were sitting at the table, and we were kind of doing that when I was down in Wilmington with Randy. You know, we were like, yeah, you were in the movie with Jennifer, and Jennifer's been a friend of ours for this long. And then you did something with Marguerite McIntyre, and we've been friends with Marguerite here, and I was like, this is crazy.
So, it's funny because everybody says that Hollywood is really very small, and you don't actually realize it until you start doing stuff like this. And,
yeah.
You know,
kind of like
it's
the military.
It's really surreal.
Really
it is. But I'm so glad that we got to speak to all these people about the movie For the Love of Money, because it really is a good movie. I know
it
that
is.
We've been talking at length about it, but it really is gangster with a heart. And it's a true story. And honestly, we keep beating you guys over the head, but you really do want to see it on the big screen. There's nothing like going to the movie theater, getting that big, you know, icy. I like the cherry icy. But getting the large cherry icy and a medium popcorn with lots of butter and salt and just sitting
see,
there.
I'm
and
like, you give me some water and then maybe some Twizzlers.
Oh, I hate Twizzlers.
But you know what? I don't drink soda drinks.
I know, but Twizzlers suck. At least get them Goobers. And snow caps.
I have no idea. But yeah,
but,
guys, if For the Love of Money is playing around you, I believe you can go to their website. I think you can go to the website and see where it's actually playing. And just go to the movies. And it's not something that's going to be promoted on television and stuff like that.
It's independent releases.
It's
like select theaters. You may actually even have to travel a little to get there, but if you get a chance, you really should. I mean, it's a great movie. You're going to be entertained, and it's always great when people show up at the theater. If you can do it, I would say do it. Otherwise, definitely rent it on video on demand or check it out on iTunes or Amazon or when it comes out in September. We're going to have some more interviews. I think we have one more. Do we have any more for next week?
We have one tomorrow.
I know, we have one tomorrow.
Yeah. We're still working on dates for a couple of the other actors in there. And I would really like to get the main character, Isaac, on. So I'm going to see if we can get him on.
I was wondering about that, because I really would love to talk to him. I mean, the older version of him.
Yes.
Well, either one, actually. But the older version of him is actually a very... He's well-known in Israel, but he's not well-known in the U.S. This is like his, like, U.S. debut.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be lovely to speak to him and talk to him about his experiences filming in the U.S. versus filming in Israel and all sorts of stuff. But he did an amazing job, I really felt, for both characters, both Yoni and Isaac in the movie. In any case, we do have an interview tomorrow. I can't remember her first name.
Do you
remember?
You want me to look that up, don't you?
No, it's all right. But it's Jenna. Jenna Mattinson, correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So Jenna will be on tomorrow at 9 p.m. And then that's it for me. But then we have a huge interview coming up for the Horror Hour, which is our horror show. Coming up later this week, and that's on Friday, correct?
No, that's tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow? Is it
tomorrow
at
6 p.m.
6 p.m. Eastern?
6 p.m. Eastern, and you're going to be there, right, to run the switch, right? Yeah,
I guess I am.
Yes, because the way we have to do it, seeing that one of our horror co-hosts is in London, I have to Skype into the switchboard, and then I have to bring him into my call. So if I'm screening calls, I'm taking him off air.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that. But, yeah, okay. I'll be there. That means I have to leave early tomorrow. But in any case, Sid Haig, he plays, you know him. He's been in, like, a ton of horror movies. He's, like... the coolest, sweetest, creepy guy on those movies. He plays the sadistic clown in both House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects. So you know him. He's very well known. And if you're a fan of horror, you're not going to want to miss this interview.
No.
Because he has agreed to stay on for the entire hour to talk about whatever Jamie and Michael want to talk about. And he's agreed to take calls. So this dude is badass. You're going to want to be there.
Yeah, we're going to 50 years of the entertainment world. That this man has been in 50 years of the entertainment world.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, he has been in a ton of stuff. And I'm sure he's going to have plenty of stories to talk about. And Michael and Jamie are funny guys, and they know their horror. So if you're a fan of horror, you're definitely going to want to see this.
They know more than their horror. Okay, I've got to tell this story. We were Skyping earlier, and they were talking about the future. And I was like, well, in 3 years, we're going to have flying cars. And then Jamie goes into the hole where we're going, we don't need roads. And I was like, finally.
Yes!
I was like, finally,
yes!
Somebody got it.
Yes.
So, yeah, these guys know their shit. And that's what I love about them. I love that they're on the VR. I love that they're doing our horror hour before, you know, about, what, 3 years ago, Jess, Courtney, and I was doing our horror stuff. Loved doing that with my girls. But I'm very happy that we have Jamie and Michael to do this because they work off of each other wonderfully, and they put up with my ass, so.
Well, you know, I may bug them from time and again when I get my horror junkie on. And I just need a horror fix. I may call in and just bug the crap out of them because I miss my horror show. I'm kind of jealous, but it's all good. It's in good hands. Michael and Jamie know, I'm telling you, they know their stuff. They know their movies, and they know their horror history. And I'm just, it's funny because now that they're doing the show, I keep bombarding Michael's Facebook page, like his personal Facebook page, with like all these zombie motivational posters and stuff like that because I keep finding stuff. And I'm like, damn it, why didn't they have this stuff back when I was doing the show? But he's probably tired of me posting all his horror stuff to his page.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And they're going to bring some great guests. They're actually going to do, seeing that we are fully booked on Wednesday, because normally their show's Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. Jess actually has two musicians that she's going to interview on Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wait a minute.
How no. are you doing all this? No, next Wednesday. And then the horror hour is going to be on Thursday at, I think we decided 6 p.m. on Thursday. I'm sorry, guys. I'm still trying to get over this cough. Luckily it's in the coughing stage and not where
right.
I was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, we've got happy news also today. The U.S. decided, finally Sci-Fi, picked up Lost Girl for the third season.
I've seen that. So guys, this is what we're going to do. Seeing that we're super, super busy, as soon as Lost Girl season 3 starts airing, we will be on our game. Me, Jess, and Brandon will be back,
yeah.
And we'll be talking Lost Girl. Because I know we've been doing the six-month rule and For the Love of Money, all those interviews, and we've added some other interviews. What I do is when a PR company contacts me and they're like, hey, can you interview this client? I'm not going to tell them no. I'm not going to say, oh, no, sorry, we have to talk about this. I can't do it. Uh-uh.
That would just be silly. That would just be bad.
Yeah. So I loved both of these movies, and I'm so happy that we had the opportunity to do this, and I really hope we have more opportunities to do that. Like, I just sent Randy a tweet, and I was like, okay, when the screener's ready, send us tag. And,
right.
You know, we will talk about that, because I love independent movies. I love them. And I'm going to talk about it again. There's this one on Netflix. It's called Pizza. It is so awkward. It's got, what is his name?
I can't think of his name.
The guy that's from Can't Hardly Wait.
Seth Green?
No, Embry. Ethan Embry? Is it Ethan? No. It's the main character.
I know
character.
Who you're talking about. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name either. But I know his face. I know exactly who you're talking about.
And his last name is Imbri. Okay, well, this is it's the most awkward movie ever. But I busted out laughing watching it. It's about this 18-year-old girl who is, she's not been in society very often, I don't think. And he plays the pizza delivery guy, so he's delivering her pizza. And then he takes her.
Sounds like a porn.
No, he takes her with him, and it's amazing. If you have Netflix, you have to watch it. I sat there and I laughed, and then the next day I watched it again. It's really a great movie.
Is it like Napoleon Dynamite? Because I love Napoleon Dynamite.
Kind of like that, but it's more awkward.
Oh, it's more awkward, really? Is that possible?
It's more awkward. You're watching it and you're looking at this girl and you're like, really? Why are you doing that, really?
All right, now I'm going to watch this movie.
You have to watch it. It's called Pizza. It's under Pizza or Slice of Pizza. But on Netflix, it's under Pizza.
Okay, I'll check it out.
You have
to
check it out.
Check out For the Love of Money, premieres tonight in L.A., and then nationwide in select theaters. We also need to check out 6 Month Rule, because that aired last Friday in New York. It premiered in New York, and I think this week it premieres in L.A., and then it goes to select nationwide theaters as well. We have to check out Pizza on Netflix. You also have to watch Jericho on Netflix, because we need another season, and Netflix needs to pick it up.
You need to catch up on Lost Girl.
Yes.
And then you need to tune in tomorrow night for Sid Haig on our The Horror Hour with Michael
and
Jamie.
And then Jenna Madison
is going to be at 9 o'clock. Sid at 6, Jenna Madison at 9. And you guys, like I said, if you don't know who Sid is, listen anyways, because as soon as you start listening, you're going to be like, oh my God, I know who this dude is. And
well, you can pick it up really easy. Just go to imdb.com and check out Sid Haig. It's S-I-D. His last name is H as in Harry, A-I-G as in George. And you're going to know him as soon as you see him. He is big time in the horror stuff.
And like Jess and I said, Michael and Jamie are amazing. And I am so happy they've joined the VRO team.
Yes. And so I guess that's it for now, and we'll see you tomorrow.
And do some support, do some tag. Definitely go check out Broken Road. Check out the trailer. I'm going to go to YouTube and check that out. And
that's
then
right.
Tag, because Randy will kill me, you know. I don't want to die young.
Yes, and we'll have to post the link for the trailer on Twitter also, and then everybody retweet it if you can. Watch the trailer and then retweet it. And so we'll post it on Twitter. If you need to catch us on Twitter, our Twitter name is at the VRO. Otherwise, you can reach us on our webpage at thevro.com.
Yep.
And what else? That's it, right?
That's all we got. I believe that's
all right.
We got. We probably have more, but I'm just too tired. Oh, Ava graduated.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations to little Evan.
He was so cute. In his little cap and gown, so cute. As soon as he walked out, Mom, Dad, Lisa, his mother, my brother, me, we all just started crying. There was like a whole bunch of people there that was for Avon, and he was just so darn cute.
He is very, very cute.
And then my brother
boy.
Turned 26 today, and I got him a birthday card. But I forgot to give it to him. And I will share the birthday card with you guys. It says it's got a guy in, like, his boxer shorts, and he's in a kitchen. And it's a drawing of, like, a cartoon guy. And he just looks like, you know, like a cartoon guy.
Right.
And it says, you are living proof. And then you open it up. Hold on a minute. I don't remember what it said, but it's funny. And my brother will love it because it's got no money in it. He'll be like, oh, okay, sis, got me a card. Where's the money? I should get him a card that says I'm too poor to buy you anything, so here's your card. Okay, it says you are living proof that God created some people just for the heck of it. And this guy, he's got his boxer shorts on with overalls, a bow tie, a towel, a toothbrush. The toothpaste is all over the place. He's in one bunny slipper, one green sock, one blue sock. The dog's looking at him funky, and yeah, I love my brother.
Good job.
If I get him a record deal, he will love me even more. Because he's got a song on YouTube. If you go under my YouTube, it's Amy NDM. You can play his song. He's a rapper. You wouldn't think my brother raps, but he does. And he wrote the song himself, which is... Have you heard it, Jess?
I haven't.
You need to hear it. I will send you the link, because you need to hear it. You'll be like... Yeah.
I didn't know that he had one out, so I didn't know. But I know that you were doing some studio work with him, so are you in the background? Are you doing some vocals?
No, not this one. We're actually still working on that one, and you just, like, throw out all my secrets on air.
Yeah.
I don't know what Jess is talking about.
Amy can sing.
Maybe, on a good day.
We know I can't sing, so it's definitely Amy.
But that's my brother's link. I might Twitter a little bit later. It's his friend Eddie and him, and my brother, the rapper.
They need a name. Ori and Eddie is just not doing it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Because Eddie's
he call himself Oreo.
Eddie's really not in the picture that much. I mean, because, you know, Eddie's not working with Ori anymore, and so they've just, you know, kind of lost touch. But Sandra, she kind of named him this morning. She's like, "Wish Rap Master DJ Oreo."
Oreo, that's what I said. You should name him Oreo.
A very happy birthday for me. I was like, Rap Master DJ Oreo.
That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
All right, my dear, I have to go start cooking dinner. So
yes, and I've got a 5-year-old that I am going to go hang out with because it is still his day.
It is his day. Yes. Give him a big hug and kiss for me, and good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Bands and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com